So I had kind of a last-minute awareness as I was coming to this meeting, and so I actually think what I'd like to accomplish on this meeting is quite simple and brief. So did people do their homework? The bringing your little cheat sheet, people have that they're carrying around with them? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I realized that I think I don't want to do a whole thing with that yet, but it might be fun just, since people have done their homework, to read what it is that they're carrying around, just be fun to share ideas. And then really the only thing I think I'd like to accomplish on this call is that document that I sent out to people, and actually I may not have sent, maybe everyone on the call hasn't gotten it, but we can read it out, the things about how we're communicating, kind of things we communicate about, and the attitude of mind we're bringing to the communication. Because mm-hmm. I think that's really useful on a nuts and bolts, day-to-day kind of level. And then see if I can say the last-minute awareness I had, that I had thought that we would go deeper into some of the having the homework that we did, begin looking at how that applies to how we're going about bringing that to our day-to-day life. But there are lots of threads, it feels like, of conversations happening in different places, and I feel like it would be good to pull it all together and to get clear about where we are right now and before we go too far down that road, because I don't want to have conversations with a group of people that we're then going to want to have again with another group of people and so on. So recognizing that, no one's inside of my head, and so you can't really know all that I'm pointing at. Does anyone have any feedback or thoughts about anything that I've just said? Anything you feel like we really should do in this meeting or that kind of thing? Okay, so should we just go around and have people share the...
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire.
I just wondered if you wanted to touch base about SCAMP and the software in this meeting.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't say that explicitly, but that was another nuts and bolts agenda item that I thought we might do, is just see where we are with getting volunteers to look at that. And Jan had some thoughts about that, so I'll pass on her thoughts. So, yes, help me remember. We won't end the call without doing that.
And just a reminder, I'm going to be leaving the call at about 3:25.
Okay. So maybe we should start with that nuts and bolts thing. The thing that Jan said is that she recommends that at least one person look at all three options, because without having one person be able to, like, see the big picture on all three of them, she was feeling like that would be tricky. So I can't remember who knows what, but so to fill people in, we're looking at using project management software. And so we're identifying three good candidates and then we're going to look into them and really research them well to pick which one we feel like is going to work best for us. And so we're looking for volunteers who would be willing to look into them and maybe look at by when would we have those. Unfortunately, as we're headed into kind of this exciting process project, we're also heading into a time when a lot of people are going to be away for a decently long time. I mean, we won't all be back together until, what, December, like, weekday would be December 14th, something like that. So, but I don't think we should put our deadline for December 14th. I think it would be great if people could, who were volunteering to do it, could do it maybe in the next, say, what, by early in the week after Thanksgiving, so what, 10 days from now, something like that. So first of all, does anyone feel like they're a candidate to do the look at all three?
Well, I feel like I'm a candidate to look at it. I don't know if the timing when it's due would make that possible or not.
Okay. And Brian just put his hands up. I'm guessing, Brian, you're going to have the exact same issue, the when it's due issue, yeah?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, we're looking at next week, but it's going to be a really short week.
The other issue with Brian is he's not in on what we do or hasn't been. It might be a challenge to fit that with the technical part.
Yeah, it might be. But I think Brian was just saying, you guys couldn't hear it, Bob, but he was saying, you know, if he this weekend he might be able to tackle it. And I actually think having Brian look at it would be a huge asset to us, even if that were in addition to Bob. But so, yeah, I mean, Brian, if you're willing to look at all three, is there someone, I don't know, Claire, maybe you could shoot Brian an email with the name of the three?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, great. And then, Bob, maybe you just truck along and do what you can do and keep us informed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the earliest I'd really be able to look at him is, you know, the 1st of December to start.
Okay. The other thing that Brian has is that he could use is the list of what we want. And so, Claire, you could send him that list, too, because that would help him kind of have a sense of, you know, what we're going for.
I can do that. And I'll, just to be clear, I'll be sending this email of information. It'll be after 6 o'clock tonight.
You know, what I was thinking about is that it seems like somebody should look at it that's actually going to be using it a lot. You know, I think, you know, Bob kind of has a vision of what we're looking at, but I think the actual people that are going to use it at some point need to really use it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And maybe Marie might not have been in on the conversation, but what we're talking about is having people who know what they're looking at be the first line of defense, and then people who really don't know what they're looking at be the second line of defense. Like Sequoia and I were thinking, we're really good candidates, and Rebecca put her name in the hat for that too. Like, you know, we're people who, we know nothing about this stuff. So give us one you think is good, put it in front of us, and see if we can actually make sense of it, and that would be kind of a good two-pronged approach.
This is Claire, and I'd be willing to have a quick look at the three of them, too. Part of my conditioning is that the perfectionist in me sometimes wants to get a bit bogged down, but
right.
If it works for people and I say that I'm just going to spend, like, you know, half an hour to three-quarters of an hour looking at each of the three of them, then I'd be very willing to do that.
Yeah, that's great. I think it'd be... I really do think the more eyes, the better on this. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I was just going to say I happen to have the draft that Claire sent on what we want from the software. You know, I think it's the original, and I don't know that it has.
I was just curious if there's a list floating around on what the candidates are, because I'm curious if I've heard of them before.
Yeah, the list of three candidates is on that email to Sequoia. One of them is Basecamp. I can't remember the other two names. The other one was that one that came from Amiga. Rebecca might remember the name. And then the third one on the list was the one that Alex found.
Alrighty, well then I guess that'll be heading my way shortly, so.
That's really great. Yep, that's great. Okay, anything else about that? All right, so should we go around and share what our cheat sheets say? Anyone want to start? Okay, well, we're just going to make it easy. We're going to pass the phone around the room here, and then we'll pick up the far-flung people.
This was two lines in my notes from that call. Our opportunity is to make available a practice to people that end suffering. Our calling is to live what we are offering to the world down to the smallest detail.
I had just a list of things that I need to remember, which is communication trumps getting things done, and the systems that support me are the systems that I want to support.
Well, mine's a little bit long. Mm-hmm. I'll read it quickly. Everything is an expression of reverence we have for life, the way we trust everything and each other, or the way we treat everything and each other is reverence. Every time something happens, mistakes, et cetera, they get incorporated into the system, and self-hate tries to stop this from happening. Then the resistance patrol, we see resistance, we go into it. The only thing that resists life is something that wants to live outside of life. And looking to life for guidance instead of conditioned mind.
I have, we are never required to leave center to do anything. There's nothing to figure out. Get present. It is an act of reverence to do what is in front of me with a glad heart, and my highest focus is to come from center.
We are always on stage, always being watched, and I've made that into a little, the Buddha is watching and he cares. We are always representing Buddhism, and we never want to be anybody's excuse for leaving practice or for seeing Buddhism in a negative light.
Ask, Lionar, ask who are we, not what does my supervisor want me to do, or Sherry or someone else. Do the work of connecting with yourself first and always. And I added, do it now. I may have added the whole, that whole second part, but do it now for this. And give yourself completely and give.
I don't have mine with me. So mine says, does this action, decision, thing represent the experience of waking up and ending suffering, conscious, compassionate awareness? Is the guidance coming from life? We can, as a group, operate in such a way that whether people can put words to it or not, whether they know what is happening to them or not, they are having the experience. All right. I know there's a lot we could say about that, but anything before? Oh, sorry. Yeah. What about our farming folks? I forgot. Sorry about that.
I can go.
Bob.
We're always on stage, and we're always the representatives of Buddhism. We could say that's unfair. It doesn't matter. That's what people are doing. There's no danger of forgetting something or getting something wrong. The whole thing is a big teaching moment.
Great. Thank you.
I have mine. I have five little items. One is, if you want life to support you, you have to give your whole heart, mind, body, soul to life. It's just a law of the universe. Giving all equals life supporting you. Holding back equals you're on your own. Number two, the attitude of mind, yes, I'll try that. Thanks for the guidance, life. Take all your guidance from life. Number three, our fondest hope is to act in such a way that people who meet us have the experience of practice. Number four, people are depending on us to be present. And the way to see it is to live it. And number five, we are grown-up little Buddhas.
Mrs. Claire?
Uh-huh.
Everything with reverence. Look for the resistance and go there. And I am fully up to the task.
Thank you. You know what's fun about it is they're all exactly the same, and yet neither was identical.
Mm-hmm.
I think we probably covered just about everything Sherry said in that call. We each picked kind of one thing out of it that's really fun. Okay, so lots more to come on kind of the, at least to me, the practical application of how that informs what we do. But as I say today, the one thing I thought we'd really hit on the content level is to look at that communication. So the things I sent out said, here are the four things, four sort of ways we're communicating, if you will. Business as called for by the structure. And I think I emailed this to everyone except for maybe Brian, and I could do that. Business is called for by the structure. Example, the checklist says we need to start on publicity, so I need to contact Marie about that. Unclarities in the structure. Example, I realize I'm not sure what this item means on our checklist, so I need to communicate to get clear on what exactly is the structure here. Three, a new policy. Example, someone is asking to video record the event with Sherry, and we've never done that before. So that's not in the system anywhere. It's not in the structure, so we need to communicate about that. And four, training. This happens when someone is learning a new job or a new part of an existing job. We're always mindful that the interaction is on the level of how to do this instead of instructing on the level of what to do about this content.
So we've really been starting to practice that in several areas here at the monastery, going from answering questions, you know, what should I do about this, what should I do about this, what should I do about this, to attempting to step back to the level of, so I've got this piece of content, I'm not sure what to do about it. Okay, well, let's talk through how we might go about answering a question like this, and really attempting to step back and communicate from that level.
Mm.
So before, you know, without steering the conversation too terribly much, any questions, comments, clarities, anything like that about any of that? I wondered if anyone who's having the experience could speak to it, like what you're seeing about the difference between those two places and what works about it, that kind of thing.
I just had an experience of it with this soup we made, which has an issue. So what I want to do is say what the issue is and then ask, what should I do? And as I was communicating it, I realized I should have this, I should say, here's what's going on, and say, here's what we're going to do, or here's what I proposed, which I didn't quite do. And I just saw how I don't want to do that. I want someone else to decide because I'm afraid of making a mistake or something. And at the same time, it's fun to have it. It is fun to be able to say, here's what we're going to do. And then, you know, maybe that's what we do or not. But I saw it all the way through. It feels good to take responsibility in that way. And one other thing is reorganizing my thinking and the way I'm looking at things. In my communication is kind of reorganizing, it seems like a whole reorganization of the way I work and operate, in that if I give the point first, like the topic sentence is the very first thing I communicate of whatever I'm communicating more clearly, and it's a process, it seems like a skill to be able to do that. And again, gratifying, I do. And it seems like things work well when I do that.
Yeah, like our teachers always tried to get us to write that thesis sentence, right, to get the whole thing nailed down. And it really is really a gift to everyone when we do that process of looking at it for ourselves, because as Michael's indicating, it's really gratifying for oneself that, you know, I'm not a little kid here. I do actually probably have a pretty good solution for this myself. And let me offer that, because it makes the communication much easier for everyone, puts everyone in a grown-up place. And, as you know, maybe, as Michael said, maybe that's the thing we do and maybe it isn't, but that's beside the point. I've done the process of looking for myself at what I see about this. And I remember, I think it was one of Michael's guidelines, look to what we're representing instead of to what my supervisor wants. And referencing that place is so often going to come up with a proposal that's a really good one.
Well, I agree with everything that was just said, and I just, it was like what was shared in group the other night. It's the difference between someone tying your shoes and you learning to tie your own shoes. You know, it just is, it's very empowering to come to that, from that place of the how rather than the content. And, you know, I just watch myself, you know, when it's focused on the content, there's this like little escape clause going on in my head. It's like, it's what Rose referred to before about responsibility. You know, I'm not really responsible. There's going to be somebody here that's going to, you know, pick it up. And it's just a real shift in focus to just look at the how of it. Yeah.
So it feels like a real shift in focus to really look at the how of it for you. And then, again, it sounds like it takes you to a different place internally. It has you looking from a different place. And it also closes up, as you say, kind of an escape valve. So if I, for example, in Sequoia's particular area, she's starting to send out a lot more email just that she writes and sends out. And so there isn't, oh, well, someone else is going to see this, and so, you know, if there's something not right with it, they'll see it. It's really, you know, ups the, okay, I'm the one sending out this email. I'm the one representing practice with this, so I really want to look to see for myself, does it do that? Does it represent what I want it, what we want it to represent? Yeah.
Yeah, it just really takes me back to the checklist, you know, and just to really look at that. And that's, you know, that's what I'm about. I want to represent practice. And as was mentioned earlier, not be anybody's excuse not to participate or, you know, to take a wrong impression of practice from something that comes out from me.
And Alex has something, and I just remembered something from what Michael said. So I was the one that Michael brought the soup thing to. And what I so appreciate about that is that I got into the same thing. I got pulled down into the same place Michael did, so I didn't answer him on the training level either. And so it just points at how supportive it is for both people in the situation to have their eye on that ball, and that anyone at any point, you know, to get out of the kind of the parent-child dynamic of, well, you know, if they say this, then this must be the, but to be able to say, well, you know what, I just realized I'm not offering a solution to this. Let me back up and do this again. And, yes, yeah, so it's supportive to everyone in the situation to do that.
Yeah, this is Alex. The only thing that I would say about the difference in the experience is with internalizing the training. So if I get over and over again, hey, did you check to see what the cost of that is going to be and the – and the what it sold for last year, and what did the printers have to say? Often enough, then, because you know, in a large sense, that's what we're getting when we come to the monastery is essentially just over and over again training on how to do the thing that we are learning to do, and so it's basically mentoring that I'm hearing, and if I hear it often enough, and I'm actually coming from the present. Then it's reinforcing within myself the little voice that's going to say, "Hey, did you check the price of that? Did you do that?" And it's counter to what the conditioning that comes through over and over again. It's really like the recording practice we're doing. Is did you think of that? Did you do that? I know Sherry talks a lot about you know, the little reminder about the keys whenever. She's about to go driving off, you know. Remember the keys? And I just think that that's what's available to us as we do this.
So it sounds like, Alex, what you're pointing at, like with the, so someone keeps asking me the same questions over and over, and I can get it. Oh, wait, I need to have thought that through for myself. Wouldn't it be nice for me and the other person if I didn't have to keep being asked those same questions over and over, but I would internalize the training, as you say, and get that and do that for myself and then bring it to someone. It's going to cut, I mean, the practical application of it for us is huge. It's going to cut way down on the time of, you know, how often we need to pull each other's attention.
Yeah, I mean, it is totally planning everything through, going through, seeing it as though it was mine. That's the big shift I feel that is available to us is that it's no longer, well, it's not my job. I wasn't supposed to be paying attention to that. From I see it, and the whole thing is important to me, and I want to say something about it because it is more important than me playing small and listening to a voice that says it's not my job. Anything that's trying to have a communication with me about it is not helpful. The insights are really helpful.
This is Claire. I'm signing off now. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Claire. It takes me back to what Michael was saying about I'm looking to what represents us instead of to what my supervisor wants or what's going to not get me in trouble or what's going to, whatever it is. But this thing... that I'm doing, which is whatever it is, it represents everything we do, is more important. It's the most important thing. It's more important than me not getting in trouble or me getting what I want or all those things, because, of course, that thing being cared for is going to care for me in a much deeper sense than any of those other things that ego wants.
And just one really neat example that I had when I was working, doing the cartoons and getting feedback from folks, there was one piece of feedback I got a while back, long time ago, that kind of pointed at this for me and just kind of drove it right home. And it was someone was sent me an email who was part of the folks who were looking at us before we formalized our system that we have now, and said something to along the lines of, I'm kind of afraid to say this. It was kind of like holding off on giving the feedback that was coming up for this person. And I remember thinking that, wow, I really want the feedback more than I want somebody trying to take care of me by not liking what it is that I do. And I thought, wow, that is exactly what I want to practice. I want to practice the integrity of what I want, which is the caring of the thing, rather than hurting someone's feelings. I mean, this person wasn't going to say anything in a way that was harmful or anything. Like, they were just commenting on the thing, and I was grateful to have the comment on the thing because I had no idea. I didn't see it, and I so wanted that more than anybody doing anything that was less.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Rebecca, did I hear you back there a minute ago?
Yeah. This is really a good one, conversation. And what I'm seeing is that how I notice how internalized both parts are in me. So sometimes I'll write an email and then I'll ask myself, okay, is there anything I should be seeing about this that I'm not seeing? And I'll just wait for a minute to see if anything comes up. And I can see, really after reading this, I can see that sometimes it's asking that question from a place of, because I don't want to get in trouble. So if there's anything I should see, come on, tell me now.
Yeah,
and then sometimes I'm asking it from a place of, okay, I'm really thinking about the group and the person who's going to receive this. And it's just from a bigger place. And so it's just interesting to see how both of those parts are so internalized and can certainly use the language of practice to, justify what they're doing.
Yeah. So it goes back to each of us having our cheat sheet to help us guide where are we coming from in this?
Yeah.
I don't know, it could be helpful, especially because, Rebecca, your job is most closely similar to Sequoia's, and she's got a list of guidelines for herself before she sends out an email that I think are really, really helpful. And also when she's looking at an issue, this is the reason I thought of it, is that so she's looking at every issue from the point of view of how can I take responsibility for, answering this or solving this or however you want to say that. And so what she looks at is, okay, if I really don't know, what would I need to know in order to solve this, complete this, do this? And then that's the thing she asks. Which seems to me like such a good place to look, because what it has us doing is really looking at, I don't know how to answer this. Okay, so what's missing for me? What would I need in order to be able to answer it? And then we can ask that.
Yeah, what that does is it avoids the group mush. The group mush is where we got 10 people all doing one job, and what that does is that the person, the theoretical person you're talking about, is staying in the place, taking full responsibility for this. There's other people on the property who are doing that same process. It's like, instead of I don't know the answer, so I'm going to give this over to somebody else to be responsible for, I'm going to keep responsibility for it by looking to see what is it that I need in order to take responsibility for it.
Can I reflect all that back?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Rebecca.
So it's a matter of having in place some guidelines that we can use to say, okay, in communicating this, for example, I'm going to take keep the responsibility, but I maybe really don't know what the next step is. So instead of passing off responsibility onto someone else, I'm going to look deeper and see what is it that I would need in order to keep, while keeping responsibility, be able to take the next step on this.
Very well reflected.
And just, this is probably obvious to everybody, that's fundamental in those, that list of things that Jen read a little while ago, and how we're communicating, that
mm-hmm.
that principle that we're all, that we all have to take full responsibility for what we have, because whenever we don't, if we abandon that, then that's where we end up in the places that, that don't work, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Really true. And what I'm just making a note to myself at the bottom of that document, that after those sort of guidelines, those four guidelines, it seems like we could have helpful hints. And one could be the one that I think Michael said, come with solutions, not problems.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if I'm not sure what the action is, look to see what I need to know in order to be, in order to take a next step. And I actually hadn't quite seen it until Dave just said that, how, why it's so effective, that it really does keep it. I know when someone comes at me with something they're unsure about, oh, it just so perfectly matches the karma that I have to take care of it, to
mm-hmm.
solve it or to take it on in some way. But if someone comes to me and says, you know, I've got this thing, and I, can you tell me how we normally handle, huh-huh? Then I just tell them, and we're on to the next thing. And it's just really
mm-hmm.
quite, it's just, it's much cleaner. Like Dave said, it doesn't get into the group mush, which is really not at all Zen. And I think that's a piece of what we're doing right now, is we're pulling ourselves out of some patterns we've gotten into as a group that are not in line with practice. Not because, you know, we meant to or anything like that, but it's just kind of the way that it's gone. And so sharpening up these edges to clarify that what we're doing and how we're doing everything is really in keeping with what we want to be doing and how we're doing it.
This is Marie. And, you know, when we started discussing this and you read your the sheet that you'd sent out, you know, what I kind of felt was like relief, and because it felt efficient for one thing, and kind of in like wise, I think was the other word that came up for me. I can just see how this would help us be so much more efficient as an organization. And you know, one of the things I was working on lately was something I asked for people on a committee to like assume they had this project. And just give me a short paragraph on what they would do. And it was amazing, the wisdom, because there were two or three things I would have never thought about. And, you know, it just showed me how, I guess, if everybody's really participating, there's a whole lot more wisdom and information available.
That is a really nice way to ask for assistance, what Marie just said, that I'm not sure where to go with this project that I have, and so I asked the people on my team, if this were completely your project, I'm just curious, where would you go with it? And that you're not, that's actually can seem similar, but way different from saying, okay, what should we do next?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into kind of a conversation about, and then we're into the group mush that Dave was talking about, but to just solicit, especially via email, what would you do? If you were me, I mean, it occurs to me that could be something I could do with the Africa work. If this were yours, what would you do next? You know, that kind of thing. But then it all goes back to you, in this case, Marie, and she takes it from there. That's really quite neat.
Mm. One other thing, Dropbox is more efficient than email with that.
Oh, I'm trying to track what's going on in the conversation. What it sounds like to me is the difference there is between getting several individual visions of how the project and sort of collecting all of the wisdom that comes up for each person versus getting into a kind of a committee discussion of what we should actually do and then having like no actual vision come through. You know, so everybody's trying to make concessions and not rock the boat, and so you're not getting full access to all of the information that each person is kind of taking in from life. Whereas if you just ask for what their vision would be, it's a different dynamic.
That is really, really well put. Yeah,
It's very clarifying for me. I'm seeing all kinds of stuff in it. Yep.
Yeah, just a footnote on that. I mean, that is the group mush right there. And, you know, what happens, I think, is when we get together and nobody's taking full responsibility, then it opens a little door for conditioning to come in. That's really what Brian was saying, I think. And then, historically, we could tell all kinds of stories about this. Historically, yeah, but let's not, Linda said. What was the last thing, Dave? What's that?
What did Melinda say?
Melinda said, let's not tell those old stories. the stories we could tell if we were willing to are about all the bad decisions that have been made in a committee setting like that, because conditioning gets in, and then nobody is really standing in the moment to make that decision. We're all in relationship, and nobody's there, and then the decision gets made by default.
Yeah, and I just saw, partly from what you were saying and partly from experience, that what happens in that group mush thing is that it's really hard not to get identified and operate from identity, which then compounds everything that's already not working. But to do this, individually look at and offer the vision that each person has, and then the person responsible pulls it all together and takes what seems to work best, seems like just such a much crisper, more workable possibility.
Yeah, there's so many images that just passed through as you guys were talking about that. Like, I was thinking about, we used to do the hot seat thing where it's a facilitation technique where one person is on the cushion and it's kind of rapid fire. You go around the room and the person on the cushion is just practicing what comes up for them in the moment, sort of a fun practice thing. But what I saw is that the group mush, first of all, it has conditioning making the decisions very likely, and it takes away all of each individual person's chance to practice being the person who's, like Brian was saying, basically channeling life, getting the guidance from life. And I think part of that comes from it's a big thing to step into. It takes a lot of courage and, you know, being willing to be here and maybe, you know, fall on my face and whatever that's going to entail. But it really gives us an opportunity that in this case, and the other thing that came through was willing to lead, willing to be led. So in this case, I'm stepping forward. You know, I'm being the front of the line, and you know, everyone's behind me and supporting me, but they're not telling me what to do, and I'm not, you know, I'm doing it for myself, and they're all kind of, you know, back there ready to do whatever. And then in the next instance, someone else is, and I'm willing to play that support position. And how very monastic and practiced that is to be willing to take both of those positions.
Yeah, just one other little thing I always go back to is that we did a little evening series on a book that was the Rule of Saint Benedict from the Middle Ages. It was, you know, Saint Benedict says, you know, here's how to do monastic practice. And what they did is, if you've got a decision to make, the person in charge of that decision gets input from anyone who is affected by that decision. So everybody gets to say what they think ought to happen. Then the person who makes the decision alone. And then everybody else accepts what the decision was, which I have always really loved.
You know, one thing that occurs to me about that is the only, you know, Sherry has said that spiritual practice can really only begin when self-hate ends. And it occurs to me that the only way anybody would be brave enough to be out there making that decision is if they've moved beyond self-hate.
So one thing came up for me when Dave was talking about the group mush allowing conditioning to come in. It really seems like, you know, if we are soliciting individual visions, then the individual's attention is on that area of life, and then the opportunity arises for information to come in, versus the attention being on the group instead of the issue and where that lives in life and what we can get from that.
This is way beyond what I hope to accomplish in this call this afternoon. That was so helpful.
Bob, I've got something.
Yeah, Bob.
Well, the two things that I look a lot at all this is, one is, you know, that when I'm communicating, I'm communicating fully. Like, I always feel like, you know, if I don't, I'm always like staring at my emails to make sure that they include these elements, but essentially that I have given the person, whether end of the end I'm on, you know, that I've given the person I'm communicating with enough information that they can actually give me some sort of response that's useful. You know, like if I don't, you know, mention that the has 14 doohickeys on it, you know, and, you know, not assume that they have all the information that I have.
Yep. And I like your point that it really serves you to do that. Because so if you get a response back, yeah, sounds good. And then you go, okay, but what about the fact that there's 14 doohickeys? I mean, you know, you're going to have to come back with that again and possibly get a grumpy response.
And the other thing is the whole responsibility versus control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think every day I look at how I word my emails from this perspective, because I've done something that's really been good in terms of my conditioning, because I used to always write, you know, like I'd be in some conversation about something and then I would be putting forth a solution and I would write, I think we should, or how about if we do this, you know, and what I did is I changed the wording on that to something like, you know, here's one way we could do this, or it seems like this might be a way we can do it. Mm-hmm. So it really isn't like me saying this is the way it needs to be, or I think this is the, you know, this is the solution.
Yep.
It's like, well, here's what I'm offering, and I maybe, you, yep, you know, essentially it leaves it open for anything,
yep,
to actually be the thing we end upon. I'm just offering what I see at that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just standing where you're standing, seeing what you're seeing, and offering that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really helpful. Yeah. I just wanted to go back and underline the thing Rebecca said about really the only way that we could do that, be in that place of being willing to step forward and take the lead on something or be the decision maker, you know, from anything, just micro little things, all the way up to really obviously big things, requires us to not be in a relationship with self-hatred. It really,
mm-hmm,
it really truly does.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we're safe, you know, we're safe enough to be able to do that. Otherwise, it's like, I don't know how to say it. I was going to say we have to have our attention on self-hate, which is not the way to say it. But, I mean, our attention just will be on self-hate. If we believe it, if we're vulnerable to that criticism, then in everything we do, we'll be, you know, being careful of that and watching for that and trying to avoid that and,
mm-hmm,
that. So that's your homework and your relationship with self-hate.
What's the due date for that?
What's that? What's the date for that?
Yeah.
And the day today.
Great.
I was just thinking that, just completely agreeing with that and thinking and that maybe there are no small things and big things. Like, to some people's world, like, what we do with that 4 gallons of soup is probably a really small thing. And yet, in my world, it's huge. And it's a lot of soup. Yeah. It said it is. So the thing is, so wherever I am, whatever the thing in front of me is the thing that self-hate is going to use. And it seems like a lot of responsibility, actually, because the way I'm interacting with what I'm interacting with, that's what I'm bringing, and what we bring is the, you know, kind of that possibility of being outside of that system. So it's like, so what I'm seeing is that there's no, the content isn't important.
That takes me back to an argument I had with somebody a very, very long time ago, where we were discussing sort of big things versus small things, and I just remembered kind of not really having the words for it, kind of what Michael was saying kind of made it a little clear for me that, you know, it doesn't, you can have different perspectives on what's big and small, but no matter what is in front of you, what you are doing, the way that you respond to that informs the way that you respond to everything in your life. So making that distinction doesn't serve you, because if you say, I'm going to do this here because this is a small thing, you're still practicing doing that, and that's going to be the same thing you bring to the big things.
So are you saying what you practice is what you have? Seems so familiar. Not what, but how, exactly. How you do anything, I do everything. Yep. It's like Sherry says, we just, you know, just keep saying the same stuff over and over, just in different ways, and how helpful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. The only other thing I'm aware of that we want to look at with this group, and I don't know if this is a short thing and it's just completely clear and obvious at this point to everyone. If it isn't, then we can table it for the next time we're together. But looking at how they're part of the group mush, I think that's what it is. Part of the group mush has been this sort of a lot of what we do when we're working together is processing. And maybe not literally processing, although, yes, in some cases it is literally processing. Like, you know, in the middle of whatever interaction, we start kind of processing. And that can seem like, gosh, of course we would do that because, you know, we're a process organization. That's what we're doing. But I wonder, is it clear to people that with this sort of process we're doing of, you know, one way to look at it is kind of growing up, is that we're beginning to... We do that in certain settings, like we're in a way we're doing it here right now. We do that, you know, when we're together for group discussion. We do that in the email class. We do that in all of that work. But then when we come together for our actual work, we do that process for ourselves internally, and then we just, it is the same thing. We talked about it. It's the standing up and being willing to take the front lead, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm practicing for myself with whatever's going on internally, I don't expect the person I'm interacting with that to have that be a piece of what goes on in this interaction. Does that make sense to people? That what we're communicating about, maybe it goes back to our communication guidelines, what we're communicating about is the thing we need to communicate about together. And I'm taking responsibility internally myself for whatever is going on a process level, and then who I send out to do the communication is the grown-up who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting some nods in this room.
Yeah, nodding over here.
Okay, nodding in Texas. And I think that's it's that place of we need to end the relationship with self-hate. It's that place of it's in the end it's way more fun. It's way more grown up. I mean, I know from my own experience there can be resistance to it, and oh God, I mean, you know, I can't, but I don't know how. But we do know how, and we're adequate to it, and that's why we're being asked to do it. So it's a much bigger, more of kind of vibrant place to live from, I think. Anyone unclear about it, or anyone want to speak to how that shows up or anything you see about it in particular?
Well, this is a tough one for me or for my conditioning. And the parental thing, kind of the parent-child relationship thing with my supervisors or mentors, my pull to get into that is strong. And it's the same way with someone I'm in guidance with. There's not this recognition that this is another human being. And who's happening to provide this perspective or whatever, who's going to give me guidance. And I get into this weird thing of wanting their approval. It's not, well, I don't know, weird, but... and that the other thing is I was seeing how in supervising, in my responsibility and being supervised, there's none of that. So that seems like a good model in a way, because there's no one turns to their supervisor in the monastery and says, you know, I'm really having a really tough time here. You know, it just doesn't happen. So that seems like that possibility is there.
In other words, if we're on retreat and you have a crew working with you, they and they're chopping carrots, they might be in complete hell, but they still chop the carrots. And so, and that's a good model for it. So you realize for you there's resistance to it, but that you there's really a possibility for you in that. Something else that you said that I wanted to go back to, but I lost it. Second time was so good. Anyway. Okay.
Well, right. What came up for me was the real gratitude for places like the Reflective Listening Buddies program and all of the self-facilitation skills that we've been practicing these past few years. That is what gives the support to keep training for that internal. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes this. I think that's what feels like to me. What makes it possible for us to move beyond the need to do that in these kinds of conversations.
Thank you. That brought up for me what the dangling thing was, which is that the key, of course, is getting in relationship with ourselves. That's
mm-hmm.
And I know what it was. When Michael was saying, I think that I'm sure he's not the only one I can relate to it, the wanting approval. And in wanting the approval, what I saw in that was I actually can't hear the guidance. Because I'm all that's going on is looking for the approval. And so I miss what I'm actually there for, which is the guidance.
Mm.
So, yeah, being in relationship with myself, you know, I approve of myself, if you will. I mean, that's a funny way to say it. But I'm, instead of looking out there for that need to be met, that's all set. And then I can have these much cleaner, more effective interactions with the actual external person. Brian's got something.
It's had a little bit come up for me, kind of around the change of orientations towards taking full responsibility and whatnot, and just the information that's coming in that change kind of closes a door on a place of maintaining a relationship with self-hate, because it's just if the information that you're getting is that you work in this tiny area and anything else, you pass the responsibility to somebody else versus you're expected to be an adult and be responsible for what comes through and take the steps necessary to expand your area to include that, it really gives a lot of information that, you know, you are equal to whatever comes your way. And it really, I think, makes it a little more difficult to believe the story that you're actually not, which is what self-hate wants to provide.
Yeah, that's a great point. That we have to work even harder to maintain the story that somehow I'm not up to this, and I'm really this, you know, sort of in this childlike place, and I need to look to the answers from outside people. Because I wouldn't be being asked to be in this place if I weren't able to do it. All right. So, homework is ending the relationship with self-hate. And we'll report back on that. Yeah, I also was looking at as watch. How much more time do we have? Is the end of the day 5 or is it midnight?
Well, I know I'll end my relationship 2 hours before y'all do.
I know, that's right. Don't you wish you were on Texas time? If we were in Zambia, we'd already have ended it by now. We're just going to go back to Georgia. That's fun. So I actually don't know what the next step is here. Well, although we do know that we're working on the software. So we do have that in play. But because everyone's going away and, you know, we've got all these conversation threads happening, I don't know what it will be. But I promise it will be something, and we will let you know. Anything else before we end? Ryan?
Just a little kind of next step process bit. It just occurred to me that in the next little working section that I have, that might be a good opportunity to at least start laying the foundation for looking at those programs. If anybody has a copy of the email, I think Claire said she was going to send it, but late or at some. Okay.
Does anyone else have their fingertips at that, on that email, the complete one? I don't know, Rebecca, do you have it?
I was just looking at one. Let me pull it up real quick. When you said complete one, that made me wonder if that was the latest, but it's because of, let me pull it up real quick. I have,
and it might be a Dropbox, I don't know.
I have one that has the three, WorkZone, Basecamp, and Reich.com that Alex came across. So I really don't know if this is the complete one, but it does have some bullet points and these three options to explore. Would that be helpful to have?
The bullet points of what we're looking for?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What we want. Our
and
event.
You know what?
Yeah.
Rebecca, CC Claire on that and say, in case this isn't the real version, we're sending it to Brian just in case, because he might have some time before 6 today to look at it. But maybe
okay.
Claire could look at that, and if it's not the complete version, she'll send it on after 6.
Okay. Let me
okay.
make sure I have Brian. Is it still brianterrell@gmail.com?
Or Brian at Living Compassion.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll do that.
I find myself in a deep place of gratitude for this conversation and for all of you. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night.